Greetings, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio, broadcasting live from the East City Ranch. We've got a great show tonight. We've got Star Fuentes on tonight. And you can go to her website and check out all the things she has to offer. It's starfu@aol.com. Or no, that's her, wait a second, it's www.starfuentes.com. That's her email. But you can get that too. But again, it's www.starfuentes.com if you want to read up. She's got an amazing bio, which I could probably read for the whole show.
probably.
Yeah. But, she studied with masters, shamans, healers in all over the world, has 52 certifications, has demonstrated all kinds of healing abilities globally, and I can go on and on and on, but I think people want to hear what you have to say, so welcome to the show, Star.
Well, good evening. Thank you for having me. We're going to start with 2012, and I want to preface it all by saying back in the very early 80s, for 3 years I spent living in Mexico with a Mayan healer group of curanderas, mm-hmm. and back then they talked about 2012, and people were like, oh, what, the, 2012, what is it? Before harmonic convergence, harmonic everything. And the Mayans mm-hmm. talked about it in a little different way than we talk about it. The Mayans, mm-hmm. the Mayans say the world as you know it will cease to exist. And, what's the first thing that happens to a humanoid mind is fear comes in. Oh my God, California is going to fall in the ocean. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, disease is going to kill everybody. Maybe, yes, no. The world as we know it ceased to exist when we got electricity. If you brought somebody from the 1850s to 1940 and showed them a street light, they would go witchcraft. My favorite headline is the New York Times. 100,000 people marched the streets of New York declaring electricity the work of Satan, 1904. The world as you know it will cease to exist happens like this. Through the ages of mankind, we have worked through the chakras. As cavemen, we worked through the first survival chakra. We went into communities. We went into learning to read, write, count, herd, plan for next year in the solar plexus. We went through the romance, the relationships, the heart. The last episode of mankind, we went through communication chakra. We can communicate anywhere in the world, limited only by the time it takes our equipment to get there. The world as we know it will cease to exist as we go into the time of the third eye. What is this 2012? Everything will be known, and that's it. We will be totally mm-hmm. psychic. You'll think at somebody. They can or cannot hear you, whether you have it on or off. We may choose, levitate, teleport. The world as we know it will cease to exist. But please understand that fear is the first thing that comes up for people. What happens with us is the light that you and I had 4 years ago, that was our highest and best light, is now our lowest, and maybe not our negative, but our most neutral light. If you continue to be closed-minded, if you continue to be in denial that the world is changing, that great things are going to happen, your light doesn't vibrate any higher. The world as we know it will cease to exist, and the people who have processed, have been open-minded, who have been open to change, will have the highest vibration of light, will be able to step into this third eye portal of every law that we knew, every physical law that we knew, we couldn't be able to defy gravity. You know, how many times have you thought of somebody and they've called you?
Yeah, it happens pretty often, I have to admit.
Well,
doesn't
it happen more often than 20 years ago?
You know, whenever I want somebody to call me, I just focus on them, and they usually do. They usually do call me.
Well, unless they're a rebel, and then they don't call you. But, yes, and if you look back, for those of us who are more mature, you look back, and what you got, what it took you 2 years to get 20 years ago, you can get in a couple of days now. In 1900, the people got in 1 year information, as much information as we get by watching CNN in an hour. You can go on your AOL or Google News and you'll get just as much information as somebody living in a farm in Iowa got in 1900. We process, we conceive, we move energy faster. The world as we know it, as the Mayans talked about it, will cease to exist. Not that the planet Earth will blow up, although it may blossom into other dimensions. The Mayans talked about this as a time when the energy as we know it, the laws will change. Many, many people don't want to be here for that. They don't want to handle it. Then if they choose to check out, they will check out. Whatever it will be, a disease, a flood, a heart attack, whatever it will be, they will check out. And the people who want to be here, who are open-minded and willing to accept the possibilities of so much magic, so much, and not necessarily psychic, but dimensional energy will be here to enjoy it and to be able to expand their consciousness and the consciousness of people around them. So the Mayans are very confusing people. You know, they have five chickens and a stick hut, and they'd sit there and say to me, well, you know, Einstein is wrong. Light moves at five speeds. And I went, well, you know, this little lion couldn't dare. I went to third grade in elementary school. And she's sitting here and she's telling me that light moves, that Einstein's wrong and the light moves at five speeds. Well, now it's a lot later than that and they've already found out that light moves at two or three different speeds. And they have to alter some of Einstein's equations. I'm going, how is such simplicity so connected to the universe? How did these shamans know all these sacred geometries, know the future and look you in the eyes and tell you that this is the future from a safe, calm place? And 2012 is going to be very, very interesting. If we're going to have intervention, which I know we are, but the time and date from other places in the universe, in the galaxy, would be right around this time that it would be totally public. And when intervention does happen, it starts happening, you know, a couple hundred years before the intervention, and the lights are seated. Well, we're here. There's more out there than just you. Like you have, your experience on your ranch.
Mm-hmm.
You have this seating, which you can continually show people. You have the capacity to seat in the normal, like Harry Potter would say, the muggle's mind. That there is greater intelligence. So as we move to this particular date, which, you know, you look at the Mayan calendar and it's not structured like we have a tendency to think. It's structured in a bigger, a more galactic way than we think or comprehend, and people are still giving their different interpretations of the Mayans, their calendar, their philosophy. And the Mayans, each of them, different tribes, describe the 2012 like it's a buffet table and they're only eating one dish of it. Well, this guy's got the meat and this tribe over here in Costa Rica has the vegetables, and you go to all the different shamans, the Mayan shamans, and they have different pieces of the buffet table that they're eating. Does that make sense to you?
Oh, definitely. You know, like the Native American teachings, when you look at the different prophecies there and you grab all the different prophecies and put them together, they all pretty much have the same outline and tell the same story, but they all have different pieces of the puzzle, and they know that. They even say that, look, you know, our nation doesn't have the whole puzzle. You need to hear all the different nations' prophecies, and we all need to come together, and then, you know, you need to hear prophecies from different cultures, other cultures as well, you know. So it's a very different way of looking at things. It's a more inclusive way. And I know with a lot of religions, they get exclusive. You know, they have their exclusive God and their exclusive book. And you know, they miss seeing the creator in all creation, or, you know, the omnipresent God that's all around them, you know, in everyone and everything. But I see over and over again that you know, like the movie 2012, you know, they're just going to capitalize on fear and suspense and just show the whole planet, you know, getting completely destroyed and you know, the government saving just a few of the elite, basically. It's kind of sad, but that's the way most of the mainstream see things unfolding.
Well, it's pretty simple. If we can teleport any place, then possessions become a moot point. If you can tell somebody's lying, they're a politician, a banker, or a school teacher, or even somebody convicted or not convicted of a crime, and if everyone in the room can see, feel, know who's lying, a lot of things are going to change. You know, teleport the rain, the flood in Africa to the desert in India. You know, I mean, think about every most physical plane laws ceasing to exist. And you can imagine that everybody who wants to be here, but there won't be secrets, probably not too many very personal possessions. Probably we're going to have to be more open, more truthful with ourselves. And people are scared of the unknown. The biggest thing about the 2012 is it's unknown. So it's unknown, so they go from person to person to person for their interpretation. And there's people out there saying, well, if you're not hanging with me, you're going to die. Or take 3 days of water. Here, buy $18,000 worth of supplements and frozen food for me for you to get through the 2012. There are people there teaching fear, and there are people that say, hey, look, deal with your stuff now. Get clear, get clean, because when the 2012 happens, it's all going to come out there. It's the energy that's changing. And look at what electricity did to this planet. I mean, that was an energy that always was there that we didn't discover. But now, look, we can see if there's something happening in India. We can see it on our TV in a minute. We can see it while it's happening. We become global consciousness. Now imagine moving into the third eye. The Mayan calendar stops because they didn't have any words to describe it. They couldn't conceptualize it with the tools that they had to write with. Well, you're going to move into your third eye chakra and people can hear your thoughts and people can see auras and do teleport, levitate, do all possibilities of all these things. How could they ever put it? So think about it.
Yeah, we did. I just got back from Mexico myself and spent 3 weeks down there and talked to, you know, a lot of the local people and one guy that actually hung out with a lot of the different shamans there. And I've been with the Huichols and some of the other groups down there. And it's really interesting and how some of them are very on top of this and some of them just look at you funny, like, you know, what are you saying? But,
well, you know, it's a funny thing. Most of the curandera shamanistic stories, traits, and lessons are handed down through stories, through teaching of person in person. If mm-hmm. the teaching gets lost or somebody decides that they'd rather have a TV set and go to work in Mexico City instead mm-hmm. of staying in their land and teaching the younger people, that the teachings get lost. The teachings have been lost for many tribes all over the world. Mm-hmm. And so you look at some of them, and some of them don't get it. But you have to conceive also with the Mayans that it's kind of like going to university. There's an English department that doesn't know, they know the topics that the physics department teaches. You know, when I studied with the Mayans, there were rituals and ceremonies I didn't get to learn because I was a healer. I didn't get to learn the dance of the jaguar because I was a healer. If I chose to use ayahuasca or I chose to use peyote, there were their geometries and their dimensions were not taught to me. So there were different tribes of shamans and curanderos, like English department, philosophy department, mm-hmm. mathematic department, biology department, that carry on the spoken and lineage stories and traditions that they carry on. So you can walk to a Mayan shaman who's based in herbs and clearing the energy of the community, and you ask him about 2012, and he's going to look at you like you're stupid. You know,
I did get that a couple times, you know,
yeah,
but,
you know,
I also got some great information as well from some that were trained, you know, in the villages, and they did pay attention to their culture and their stories.
What did you learn?
Mm-hmm.
What did you learn down there this time?
Well, you know, it's quite interesting. I learned pretty much what you're saying about the Mayan calendar is that it's been very commercialized here in the States, and people have used it, you know, to promote their products and fear and doom and gloom. But, you know, basically they just talk about love and ascension and a higher dimension that we're moving into. And, you know, they see it as a really positive thing. But when you ask them, well, are there going to be earth changes in this process? They said, oh, yes, you know, everything's going to escalate. You know, the earth is expanding, growing, you know, she's has her destiny, and we have to pay attention to what's happening and go with that flow. But there's no fear in what they're saying, and it's not the end of the world or anything else. You know, basically they just teach, you know, be kind to each other, be kind to the earth, and listen, you know, listen to spirit, you know, concerning what's happening around you and flow with it.
And it's almost like it's an empowerment they look forward to. And like you're saying, there's a serenity when they, oh, the world as you know it will cease to exist. It's not like, do I have to go hide in a cave or should I bury gold in my backyard? They don't perceive it that way from mm-hmm. that fear base. They conceive and perceive it like, oh, wow, it's going to be nice and pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and you know, I also too, when I was down there, like you're saying, these villages, they have a little hut, you know, and a few chickens running around. And one village I went to, I mean, they threw out this feast and, you know, and they made their tortillas and they caught some fish and they had some mangoes and some fresh fruit and everything. And we had the most incredible feast. And not just the feast, but just incredible energy and company and sweet people, you know, give you the shirt off their back. And I was just thinking about their way of life, you know, if everything did hit the fan and if, if the the system that we've put together here, you know, and fails or falls, they're not, a lot of them aren't even going to know about it. It's not going to affect them in any way whatsoever.
Just think about it. Where's the parties? Where's the hospitality? In the 60s and 70s, I had two or three invites a week. Come over to my house. We don't have much. We have chips and dips. Let's talk. Let's talk about metaphysics. In the 80s, I had less. In the 90s, who's throwing parties? When you walk into somebody's home, if you're lucky if they give you a drink, let alone set out a meal for you these days. But in the shamanistic and the Mayan culture, they celebrate. If someone comes, they'll give you. They'll go and hunt food. They'll go and catch fish. They'll climb up their avocado tree and get their best avocados and limons for you. We don't have that. Nobody is a guest anymore. Everybody is a stranger.
Yeah, it's very sad. I mean, I feed so many people here all the time, and just even strangers show up. And I said, yeah, come join us. You know, I always try to get a little extra. And, you know, that's just the way I've been taught. And you try to do that as much as you can. But I've seen that the reciprocation or the, hopefully that'll just be an example for others or whatever, but you know, it's just amazing how, you know, a lot of times, yeah, you definitely go to places and they first thing they do is they give you all the rules. You can't go here, you can't do this, you can't, you know, you got to get your own food, you can only stay here one day.
You're like, hello,
yeah, and you're going, wow, thanks.
Happened to connection? What happened to being the host, the hostess, and really. When you have a guest, you celebrate. Guests in the United States are an imposition. Oh, my God, my mother-in-law's coming. She's staying for 3 days. What am I going to do? Well, maybe you should talk to her. Maybe you should sit down with her, you know? Yeah, maybe you should, you know, feed her something she likes or learn a family recipe from her or something. Continue your lineage. And people talk about random acts of kindness and being kind to each other. We have so much psychological, psychic, emotional baggage that we're afraid to let people into our houses. And I'm not saying total strangers, but people, you know what I mean? People you already know, you've met, you know they're not going to hurt you, harm you. We're afraid to invite people into our homes because we're afraid to invite them into our heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's what's really sad I've seen is that I brought this up before. I went and I was getting some tires. I was getting a battery for my car at a local tire store. And I was looking at some tires, some other things, and I was standing there I was watching the news, and so we don't watch TV up here. We don't even have a TV. We watch DVDs now and then, and that's about it. But, I just was blasted over and over by fear. You should be very scared, you know. They're going to get you, you know, Al-Qaeda this, whatever, you know. It's just like unbelievable, and just these people screaming at you, and the energy around that was just so disgusting. And I said, no wonder people are so divided and so fearful and so closed down, especially if you're getting bombarded with this kind of energy coming out of that TV set and the messages.
It's pretty bad. And I tell my ministers worldwide, turn on CNN for 2 minutes so you know who to pray for. Then turn on the cooking channel. You know?
Yeah.
Because, you know, CNN in 2 minutes will tell you flat whatever's going on in the world, and then I'll repeat it and put on their experts who God knows how they became experts anyway, you know. And you're right about the television, but one thing I'm going to say about the television, if you want to know who and what to pray for, 2 minutes of CNN, and that they'll do it for you. And there's so much. When you pray for light, when you pray for healing, when you pray for a better life, more cash, a mate, a lover, success, the very first thing that happens is everything unlike that in your system, unlike success, unlike love, hits the fan. So you get down and you pray and you become meditative and you say, oh, give me light, give me healing. And the next thing you know, your stuff's up.
Uh-huh.
And that is because light needs a space inside of you to go. So it kicks out all of the lower vibrational things that you haven't handled. So people pray and people connect and boom, they're whopped and they handle it. And they pray, and they're connected, or they're healing, and they handle it. And then there's people who pray, heal, and connect once. And the crap hits the fan, and it's too much emotionally, mentally, spiritually for them to deal with. So they don't pray, they don't connect, they won't be kind again. Because what they think they have learned is anytime you open up to the light, you process more, or stuff comes up. What they don't get is light is making space for itself. Love is making space for itself. Prosperity is making space for itself in your energetic body. And you can't be asking God, Spirit, Source, Earth for things to come into your body, esoteric things or physical things, when there is no space in it. So people have learned not to pray, not to meditate, not to love.
Yeah, I'm seeing right now, and you've probably noticed this too, but there have been these waves of energy, consciousness and energy, whatever you want to call them, moving through the planet, and they come in cycles. I haven't figured out the exact rhyme or reason to these cycles, but I know when they're up, and it's just amazing when they come through, and everybody's stuff just comes up and hits the fan, and they go into blame and projection mode, and lately, I'm seeing people's deepest, darkest fears, you know, their biggest necromancers that they have to face right now are just coming up in their faces. And the last, you know, they're having that last program they have to override, which is the need to control or blame or project this outside of themselves. And there's just no way of getting around it other than owning, you know, what you're experiencing and what you're feeling and what you're co-creating. And, you know, do the old Ho'oponopono program, you know, where you say, if it's in my life, it's part of me, and forgive yourself and forgive others and tell that experience, I love you. It seems like that's the only way out right now.
Well, it's probably one of the only ways, is praying, loving, processing, raising your energy, and whether you do it with salt baths or you do it with praying to Buddha or praying to Jesus or whatever it is, if you got to handle what's going on or it gets deeper and darker. And if you're deeper and darker and somebody comes along and says, oh, I have a cement condominium 20 by 20 feet, for when 2012 comes, give me $500,000 before we're stocking guns and food and water, you're going to buy into it. Mm-hmm. The darker that you are, the more fear you're going to buy into. So if you're scared of your neighbor, if you're scared of yourself, prayer, meditation, connection, healing, energy work, psychological work is your answer, because fear just doesn't come out of nowhere and grip you 92% of the time. I mean, I've seen a crowd panic before, et cetera, too. 8% of the time, fear can just run away with you, but it has to anchor into something. Mm-hmm. And we're not evil people. We're not bad people.
Yeah.
We just have a lot of stuff. And you look at the Mayans who, you know, I worked in the healing clinic with the Mayans, and we saw about 600 people a day, and you'd start at 7 in the morning, you end at 8 o'clock at night. And at the end of the day, I'd have about $6.50 after seeing somebody for 5 minutes or whatever with the other curanderos. I'd have a chicken, tortillas, avocados, eggs, you know, various different things. And I looked at my master healer and I said, Esperanza, why can't we give this food back to the poor? And she looked at me and she says, Avatar come over here. You see this tortilla? See this crimp? That's made by Maria. You see this tortilla? You see how that's set that way? That's made by this other lady. You see this chicken has been in somebody's yard for 2 years. They know it. You will insult the poor if you give them back the food. Because that is their energy exchange. And I thought about how kind and how generous these people were to bring me half of their tortillas, one of their two chickens. You know, I'd go and birth a baby and be there for 24 hours, and they'd give me $3.60. But it was half of the money that they had. Mm-hmm. And their shack where you could throw cats through the palm palapa holes in the wall. And you look at their kindness, their gratitude, their love, their celebration, and you look at your own life and you look around and you say, things have to change.
Mm-hmm.
And people are saying it about the government. People are saying it about mortgages. People are saying it about the credit card companies. People are saying it about the schools. People keep saying things have to change.
It's pretty obvious, right? I've been seeing it. You know, I've been feeling a huge upwelling lately in, you know, resistance. And we are seeing it being, you know, carried out. You know, it's like a revolution is starting. Hopefully it'll be a revolution in consciousness and people will make a nice, peaceable shift, you know. But I know history has shown that it usually doesn't go that peaceful because tyranny just hangs on till the very end for some reason. But, you know, hopefully.
Well, you know that the people who are angry and fearful are going to run out into the streets and meet the other people who are angry and fearful.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who come and collect and say, we just get to do what we have to do for a day or two. Or whatever, however it plays itself out, it will play itself out for who you are, will decide whether it's a peaceful change. But if you look at the earth, you look at what's happening in globally, politically, country-wise, finance-wise, and you go back to my theory that the crap hits the fan just before the big light comes in because the crap has to leave to make room for the light.
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking at a period in time where, wow, there's a lot of crap being manifested. So there must be a lot of light coming in to fill this space. And, you know, we go back to me living in Africa or in India or in South America or in Mexico or living in Indonesia with shamans and curanderos. Everything is so simple. The tribe takes care of the healer. The tribe takes care of the chief. The tribe takes care of the children. We eat, we celebrate, we love. We have lost community.
Mm-hmm.
In the United States, we've lost community. We've forgotten how to have a guest in our house. We've forgotten how to give parties. We've forgotten how to be kind.
I know. I was talking to a friend in Carlos who has lived with a lot of the shamans over there and worked with them very closely. And he said, it's just amazing. He said, you know, he said, the women are the ones that are really plugged in. He said, because, you know, he said, when he was there, he said they would know exactly when, his stomach growled. And then the woman sent her daughter out and she says, Carlos's stomach is growling. You know, it's time to feed Carlos like this. And there's no way she could have heard it or anything else. I mean, she's, quite a distance away. And they're that connected and they're that service oriented and they're just plugged into that program of, this guy's hungry. I need to feed this guy or I need to help this or that. And it's amazing that life, and he was talking about it, and he said that, you know, it's just amazing that he said a lot of the women that he worked with were so service oriented and just so plugged in into that telepathy and everything else. He said that, and he was telling them that, you know, maybe it's time to give them a more a bigger role in what's going down here, you know, and bring back the equality and everything else. It was kind of amazing what he was talking about, but he was, the whole time he was praising, you know, the people that were just in full service mode and just how tapped in they were to what was happening in their surroundings.
And you know, the shamans will look at the irises of your eyes, the color of the skin on your face, whether you're sweating. They'll notice the slightest energy change. People look at you now, you have a pimple the size of a crater on your face, and they won't notice it. They don't notice the energy. Back to what you were saying, when I was in Africa, I was traveling, I met these amazing women, and they'd never put diapers on their children, and they would be doing whatever they'll be doing, and all of a sudden, they'd have a baby, 2 or 3 months old or something, and they pull the baby off of their body and hold it to the side, and the baby would poop or urinate. They'd wipe it and put it back, and they were so attuned with their babies that they never diapered them, and they would be conscious enough to have them be able to express their feces and urine without getting the mom dirty, without getting anybody dirty, that they were so tuned. And people forget that women hold space. We hold space for vibrations. We hold space for energy. We have a uterus inside of us. We have a place that holds space. And civilization has forgotten that we're the space holders. You know, and men have that get up out there and go thing.
Yeah.
You know, and get up and go. But, you know, you're going to have to rest. You're going to have to eat. You're going to have space to sleep, space to have children, space to relax. So a lot of it may change real quickly, but as we come to this 2012 and the world as we know it ceases to exist, we will see true value in everyone, whether it is a woman, a child, a man, the true value of their awareness, the true value of their kindness, the true value of how they empower other people will be seen by all, felt by all. And, you know, this is why the IBM president making $300 million a year in bonuses and little Joe downstairs in inventions makes an invention for that will bring IBM, you know, $10 million and they give him a, you know, $1,000 bonus. You know, when we start getting to space and place where you get paid for what you contribute, and people just look at the energy and say, well, look at that much energy. That person gets paid that much for contributing. And you, Mr. President, played golf all week and talked to people. Here's your $498 minus Suda, Fuda, and FICA, you know?
Yeah.
So
have you noticed that there's this, what I'm seeing, what's coming up, like the you know, the crap hitting the fan or whatever, is I'm seeing that, like, there's these world lessons, whatever you want to call them, and one of the biggest one is this sense of entitlement, where these people, you know, the banksters and all these guys, they have this strange consciousness, this sense of entitlement, where, you know, they have no problem just, you know, taking people's life savings or taking these, you know, writing these bonds and all of these programs that they've got going, knowing that they're just ripping people off right and left. They have no problem but taking these enormous bailout bonuses and all these other things. And I'm seeing that over and over. There's this mindset where, you know, even a lot of the politicians and things like that, they don't see any problem in making, you know, billions of dollars at everybody else's expense or millions or whatever. And it's just this inflated sense of entitlement and the uneven dispersal of wealth and all of that stuff is just coming right up to the surface for everybody to see it, you know, to see what's going on. And the next step is you know, what are the people going to do about it, you know?
Well, they're going to have to get sick and tired of it first.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's a lot of things that have happened in the last 20 years of this nation where nobody spoke up, and other things mm-hmm. happened because of it. And people are going to have to get sick and tired of somebody paying you 3% interest on your money you put in the bank, but the credit card company taking 26% compounded daily.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And this is, you know, with the way the taxes are. And I'm not a dumb person. You're not a dumb person. Why do mm-hmm. they have to tell me not to put saran wrap or the dry cleaning plastic over my head? Why does somebody have to write that law? Why are all of these laws to protect the people that take so much money from the people to write the laws, to debate the laws, to pay the people? We're not stupid people, and we're being treated that way. We're being treated that way, and we're going to get treated that way, and some guy's going to get $100 million and a bonus, and the company's going to declare bankruptcy.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you know, the automakers are in trouble. They didn't sell cars this year. And everybody's going, oh, they lost so many dollars. Their stock went down. But they forget to take into account that all those unsold cars are assets that the company still has.
Uh-huh.
And they're bailing out the automobile companies left and right, and this company left and right. And the cable TV company is in the hole, mm-hmm. but they still have 50 million people paying $30 a month,
mm-hmm.
and they're giving them a bailout.
Yeah, you know, it never ceases to amaze me. What I'm seeing right now is a process of where we have this unbridled greed coming to the very surface, and for everybody to see that, you know, when you give your power away to any source outside of yourself, they usually will abuse it or betray a trust or whatever. And we're just seeing that again and again and again. And I think we need to, you know, basically, you know, I don't want to sound like a patriot person or whatever, but, you know, we do need to bring back the Constitution, just throw out all that other crap, all those other laws, and we should throw out all the laws that allowed them to rip us off, because most of the laws they're paying are just, I mean, they're putting forth now are making it legal to totally rip off, you know, the American people. And
just imagine if everybody could perceive the truth, feel it, see it, and the earth as we know it ceases to exist, and somebody tries to sell you a car, and you say, is it a good car? And it's a lemon. And they go, yeah, it's a good car. You can perceive the truth. You go to the pharmacy, and you're buying a mm-hmm. pill that costs 32 cents to make, and maybe 10 cents to distribute, and they're asking $10 a pill. You know,
mm-hmm.
You'll see the truth. People will see, feel, and know the truth. Imagine what that would do to everything. There would have to, laws wouldn't have to be repealed. They would become defunct. They would become distinct. People would be able to perceive what is the truth. People will be able to know, feel all this stuff. When someone is in pain or hurting, they have a look on their face now. We can choose to ignore it. We can choose to let our neighbors starve. We can choose to let many crimes be committed because we don't want to be bothered. That won't happen anymore. You know, one time I asked my master, I says, why are you a master? What's the difference? And my teacher, the Curandera Mayan lady, turned to me and says, I am responsible for everything in my awareness. And I sat down and I tried to think of what I'm not aware of. And you can't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't. Am I aware of the hunger? Yes, I am. I have a food bank. Am I aware of what's going on in Haiti? Yes, I sent there's a minister of mine down there doing something. Am
mm-hmm.
I aware of this and that? And you can take an action step, and an action step can be your energy, can be an article, can be cash that you research how it's distributed. It can be many different action steps. But most people
mm-hmm.
don't take action steps. Oh, I'm going to watch CSI and SISSSI and let somebody else take care of it.
Yeah.
You know, so
yeah.
Going back to the 2012, the Mayans look forward to it. They're, There's no fear with that. They don't have words that literally they can, that have been in the lineages or stories that tell exactly what's going to happen. But they look forward to a time when all the energies are going to shift, like you were told, like I was told, pay attention. What's in your awareness? Be kind. Be kind. You know, and what's that? Mm-hmm. Is that saying please and thank you? No. That's being polite. Be kind is when you see, feel, or know something's going on with somebody. That's good. Acknowledge it. That's bad. Help them. That's whatever, to take an action step. But let me just sit home. Let me buy my expensive $200 shoes. Let me just sit home and eat my very expensive, unnutritious frozen food with a good label on it while people aren't eating. Let me sit home and pay attention. Oh, no, I'm not going to pay attention to my own life.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the bottom line right now is that, you know, I was told, too, that we would be moving into what they call direct knowing, where you just know what's going on. There's nothing hidden anymore, you know.
What happens to all
the politicians?
Yeah, imagine that. Imagine teachers and school systems, how you know, we got a $1 billion jet, but, oh, we can't afford to give the poor starving kids in Appalachia breakfast anymore, okay? But give me 5 more of those $1 billion jets, please.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's the choices.
Yeah, I noticed that they go, we got to cut back. And do they ever cut back, in the huge waste and the off the top? The top never cuts back. It's always the services and the things that are helpful. You know, those are the programs they cut back. And then they do that to punish the people for not paying enough taxes or giving them enough money to continue in their other programs. But, you know, we need to start cutting the top down, you know, if we really want to turn things around, because it's this uneven dispersal of wealth and this sense of entitlement and just the pure arrogance that some of these people are running is just going off the scale right now. But it is all coming up for everybody to see it, which is the good thing.
Yeah, and you know what? People are just going to take, once this energy happens, they're just going to take a look at it and go, government, no taxes, no. And, you know, the people are going to say, okay, well, I like children. I'm going to go do, you know, my 3, 5, 6 hours a week. If everybody did 3, 5, 6 hours a week of community service, if everybody,
mm-hmm.
you know, between the ages of 12 and whatever, to when they wanted to stop, people would take care of the old people, the sick people, the hungry people. People would take care of this, that, and that. And we mm-hmm. wouldn't need the programs. People would be teaching ballet. People would be teaching painting.
Hey, you know, that's what's happening down in Mexico. When I was down in Sayulita, and I know a lot of the gringos down there basically are donating all of their time and their you know, even some of their own funds and everything, and they're building schools, and they're educating these kids in very good ways, and, you know, teaching them English and Spanish both. You know, they're not degrading their own culture in any way whatsoever. But I mean, it's amazing what they're doing there. And, you know, I was teaching Kunlun down there, which is a very ancient Tibetan practice, and I taught a couple of the teachers that now they're teaching it in the school. You know, and you know, like I'm sure you've done that too, you know, paid probably thousands of dollars to take some certificates and trainings and things like that. And,
that's right.
And, yeah, and these kids are, you know, and I just share it. My nature is I just share. I love to just share everything. And now you see these kids, just big smiling faces down there, you know, practicing, you know, doing the moving postures of the four elements. And even the shamans down there, when they see it, they go, whoa, they can see what's going on when you're doing it. And, you know, they loved it as well. And we had a couple of Huichol people there that came to the classes while I was down there, and they loved it. So it's spreading all over. It's amazing. But, you know, again, it's,
but
you know,
there
something.
It is. That's kindness, that's giving, that's sharing. That's empowerment. Whatever the teaching may be, to paint or to do whatever you do, people aren't doing it.
Yeah, and I see down there too. What I was noticing down there is that, you know, they have an abundance of food down there. I mean, they've got fish out of the ocean. They've got their chickens everywhere. They've got mangoes, papayas, you know, star fruit, everything you can think of growing in the jungles there. And it's just amazing how that simple life, if they can maintain that and not get into the under the thumb of the mortgages and all the other things that are starting to encroach in there, if they could just maintain that simplicity and then learn all these other things that are valuable, it's amazing what kind of community is going to unfold there, you know, versus this other pretty much enslaved program that we have right now, where we're enslaved to our houses, our land, our cars, our everything. You know, it's just, you know, that's what I see unfolding down there. It's just amazing.
Well, it's a pretty interesting world, and the more conscious you become, the more conscious you know that other people have to become, and the more of your own stuff you see, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You just have to empower yourself and other people. You have to be kind. Kind does not mean polite.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's sometimes you look at somebody's face and you go, oh, my God, it's going to take me 2 hours to talk to this person. I don't want to deal with it. And you turn around and you sit down and you deal with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Whatever problems they have, whatever story they need to tell. And being kind is important. People are being pointed to the 2012. Whatever their darkness, their low vibration, whether it is fear, whether it is possessions, whether it is food, whether it is cash, they will hoard, they will put emphasis on that. Whatever is unlike light in them will come up before the 2012.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, right? Like, as I was saying before, too, that, you know, whatever childhood trauma, whatever family trauma they've had, you know, it's you know, we've had the luxury of kind of projecting that out and blaming other people and recreating these programs again and again and again. But it seems like the way the new shifts coming, the new energies are coming in, we just don't have that luxury anymore of playing that game anymore. We're going to really have to own our stuff and own, you know, what we're experiencing and feeling and actually clearing it within ourselves versus trying to control or manipulate, you know, the outer circumstances.
Yeah, you know, and I had a lady come to my food bank, and she came in and she goes, what forms do I have to fill out? What sort of ID do I have to give you to get food out of your food bank? I just took one look at her, and I gave her some bags, and I said, come on, let's go see what you want. And I'm thinking about these people who need food now, and they have to give ID, and they have to fill out forms. And, you know, I could take one look at the lady, and I could see that she was hungry, that she needed food. That,
oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And, you know, and you think about, you got to give your Social Security number. The other churches want you to attend church before you can take food out of their food bank. And I look at all these, this is the basic need of mankind.
Oh, yeah. That is the real service, you know, the real church.
Yeah. And you know what? Okay, come on, jump through my hoop. Come to my sermon. I'm like, oh, my God, no. Here, come on, let's grab some bags and let's see what, you know, you want. Come on, you can even pick what you want off the shelves. I'm not going to say, you know, 2 cans of meat, 1 can of fruit for each person. I'm like, oh, my God. And it's come to that. It's come to being defined, refined, and we need to be open and prepared for whatever shifts. The world as we know it will cease to exist. It has done that many times with printing press, with gunpowder, with electricity. Many of these profound world changes came with these energies. The world as we know it will cease to exist.
Yeah, we're out of time, unfortunately. Can I'm going to go ahead and give your website. It's starfuentes.com if people want to get a hold of you or contribute to your food bank or any of your other programs there.
Wow, that'd be wonderful. And I have 5 books that were published last year, and you can see them on the website. Thank you for having me.
Oh, I can't thank you so much for coming on. It's been a blessing for, I know, all the people that listened, and, you know, hopefully people will take that message of kindness to their heart and start, you know, being of service to humanity and the earth.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right. Well, it's James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio signing off. Have a great evening, and be kind to each other, and be kind to the planet. See what happens. Good night.